Welcome to another episode of Meet Me at the Library, the podcast that talks about programs and resources at Charlotte Mecklenburg Library. I'm Jeff Gavin, a librarian at North County Regional Library, which is currently closed for renovations, but I also work on the digital branch for the library. The focus of today's episode of Meet Me at the Library is volunteering. We'll be talking about programs through Charlotte Mecklenburg Library that allow individuals to have an impact on their world by becoming volunteers. With us today, we have Shauna Wall, the volunteer manager for the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library System. We also have Sharon Sanders. She is an adult volunteer who works at the main library in downtown. And we also have Cameron Smith. Cameron is the adult services librarian and volunteer point person or coordinator for University City Regional Library, one of our busiest libraries. So in this recording, we're going to get a perspective from both staff and volunteers on what it's like to work with volunteers or to actually be a volunteer. Shauna, will you tell us a little bit about yourself and give us a brief history of volunteering at the library and your role in that?
Okay. Well, I have been many things and have lived in Charlotte for about 30 years. I've been a social worker. I've worked with older adults. But in my entire work career, I have always worked with volunteers in some capacity. And so that brings me to my current position here at the library of volunteer manager. And I've been doing this for about 13 years now. Mm. I've had other jobs attached to that.
Right.
I oversaw the Friends when I first got here, but now it's 100% volunteer management. And so when I came in about 13 years ago, there really wasn't a lot of infrastructure around the volunteer resources. And there hadn't been anybody in that position for about 7 years. So I had to kind of build it all up and create policies and procedures and protocols and you know, some things that, you know, just needed to be defined on what we, you know, would do and what we wanted to do, et cetera. And so one of the first things that I did was establish a volunteer point person at each branch, because being one person, and at the time we had 24 branches, and now we have 20, and so, and everything from Davidson to Steel Creek, it's obvious that one person just can't manage that. So we started what we call a volunteer point person, or VPP, and so that they could be the point person for any new volunteers that came through the door. And so I spent a lot of my time training the VPPs and getting them up and running to work with the volunteers. So what might be kind of surprising is that I, as the volunteer manager, don't work with volunteers as much as you might think I do. I do. I have several, you know, projects that I oversee. But I typically am spending most of my time training staff who have been appointed to be a VPP at each branch. And so that's been awesome and challenging. It's kind of like HR light. You're really kind of a human resources person.
Sure.
So that we recruit, we orient and train, we have to manage bad behaviors.
Okay.
We have to sometimes dismiss. So it's not an easy job. So the VPPs that have taken this on have really probably learned a lot and increased their skill sets quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm very appreciative of the ones that have taken on that role, because it's in addition to their normal work as well.
Right.
But the having volunteers and being a place where volunteers can come and do their great work is essential. And we want to make sure that we make a place for that. And we do that through the VPP and, you know, good policy, good handbooks, and all the things that, you know, we try to foresee and anticipate as needed.
Okay. So what year did the VPP program start?
Mm-hmm. So I got here in 2005, I think it was. And so probably 2006.
Okay.
Yeah, because I just could not manage the scope of you know, all of those branches, and they're so far out, like Steel Creek. I mean, that's probably a 40-minute drive. So, yeah, right away, I would say. It was one of the first things that I noticed that it just had to happen. There's got to be somebody at each branch that can welcome a new volunteer, make sure that they're a good fit, because sure. That's one of the biggest things that we need to do is make sure that they're a good fit for us and we are a good fit for them.
Okay. So that's when you would kind of say the volunteer process formalized.
Yes, yes. And a handbook and all the things that go with it and what we, you know, wanted to make sure the volunteer experience was like.
Right.
So, that's about the time that it started taking off. And then it really got intense in 2010, where we had the big budget crisis in our city. And we were asked to do more with less. It required a lot of volunteers to do that. We kept branches open an extra day because of volunteers. Hmm. And we increased our volunteer utilization by exactly 128%.
Really?
So we more than doubled our volunteers in about a six-month time. And so that is where, you know, we really got some traction and increased our volunteers tremendously during that year. Because so many people came out to say, we are not going to live in a city without libraries.
Yeah.
And we thought we were going to be 4 days. Some of our branches went to a 4-day week.
Right.
And because of volunteers, we were able to at least have a 5-day week.
At every branch.
At every branch.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. That was a big year for volunteers at the library, and that we were called on to do more with less. And so we trained a lot of volunteers. I think Matthew's branch probably has, at that time, had more. It had about 120 volunteers.
Wow.
And they may have had 30 or 40 before that. But again, we really saw an increase in numbers and activities in order to defend the library system, you know, and to make sure that people had access to information. And people came out in droves to volunteer because libraries meant so much to them.
Yeah.
It was heartwarming, you know, it really was.
Because
people were just, you know, save our libraries.
Right.
And, you know, and having access to libraries is key. If the library's not open, you know, now we have a digital branch and people can access that in a different way. But at that time, in 2010, if you couldn't get in the library, more than likely you weren't going to be able to access our materials and get information that can change your life, really.
Yeah, that's great.
That's so inspiring to hear you describe the turnout from the patrons because they felt like it was their it was their library and
absolutely.
They didn't want to see it.
I don't think
degraded.
I think the politicians at the time were they'll never forget what people did to come out to say, don't take our libraries. And what was so funny, you know, we have Paws to Read programs where kids can read to dogs.
Yes.
And our little dogs were wearing vests that said, you know, save libraries, etc. So I mean, just everybody came forward to say that, to cast their vote, which is what I often talk about when people volunteer, they're casting their vote, they're casting their time to say, this is the kind of place I want to live in. I want to live in a place that has literate people, has educated people, people who have access to information so they can make great decisions and make good choices. And so that's what they were saying at that time, too, is I don't want to live in a place that doesn't have, you know, a robust library system. I want this. And so it was heartwarming. And it was a shot in the arm because everybody, obviously, we were crushed. We were hurt by all of that budget and all of that happening here in Charlotte. But the people, the community, individuals, groups, and dogs all came out to say, this is not acceptable, and please do something. And so we did a lot. We did a lot of different things to try to stay open, but the volunteers were probably the hero of the day.
Yes, I would say so.
And keeping our doors open longer.
So besides helping out so much and helping keep libraries open, what else would you say that volunteers can bring to the library?
Well, we want to have volunteers in our organizations, primarily because they help us expand our capacity. Mm-hmm. That is one of the biggest reasons that we want to engage volunteers, is that they help us do more.
Right.
And so, and what they bring to the table is years of expertise. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have, you know, the types of things that they've done in their life. They bring that to the table. They also have maybe time and attention and focus that a lot of times staff might be called on to do 15 things, but we can put a volunteer down, you know, to do this project, and then they have the luxury of focus.
Right.
Is another reason why volunteers are so important. But they also just bring they become advocates for the library. They become even donors to the library. Mm-hmm. And so we know that we want to engage volunteers to see how we do things, to see how we run, and then they give us feedback. They help us become better. They see things that maybe we didn't see because we've always done things a certain way. So right. there's a lot that volunteers bring to the table when they come in our doors. And one thing that we'd like to see more of, and we're trying to move toward a little bit more, is skill-based volunteering. So right now, like when Sharon comes in and volunteers, I know that we need shelvers, that we always, you know, we always need that.
Sure.
And because Maine Library has 7, 8, 9 departments, there's lots of other things, the loading dock and putting books in bins, getting them ready to go out, tech services, getting them ready for the public to have access to all of the books. There's a lot that they can do in libraries to help us get ready for the public. So Sharon comes in and she does a little bit of everything for us. I mean, she's just jumped right in. She brings her expertise to the table and her passion. You know, obviously she has a passion for libraries. First thing she did when she moved to Charlotte was get her library card, right?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I live 2 blocks from the library, which is heaven.
Yeah. And so she has gotten her fingers in a few things that, you know, I just throw it out there and say, do you want to try this? Do you want to try that?
Sure.
And she might try it, and she might find out that's not a good fit. And if she does, she's welcome to come to me and say, I don't think I like doing that.
Right.
That's important to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. We might see that somebody's a good fit in a certain role, but we certainly are open if that's not the best fit. And so we just try to find a place where their skills, their passion, and again, like I said, we are trying to do a little bit more skills-based, where we take in consideration what Sharon has done mm-hmm. in her life. And maybe we, you know, capitalize on the fact that she's been a writer, that she's a food blogger.
Right.
I mean, how can we look at that and think, how could those skills help the library? Because what we've been doing mainly is what we call warm body recruitment. And if you can shelve, we want you. But we want to dig a little deeper. We want to mine the skills that volunteers bring and see what they can offer. We want to move a little bit more toward that scenario. Although there will probably never be a time when we don't need a shelver. That shelver position is safe
right.
for years to come. But you know, technology and things come along, and it does change a little bit of the way we do things, but that one's sure to be around for a while.
Yes. Why would you say volunteers want to, or in your experience, mm-hmm. why have volunteers wanted to be volunteers?
Well, you guys, I mean, I think it'd be interesting for Sharon to answer that too, and Cameron, you've probably seen quite a bit, but I would say that most people feel the need to give back.
Sure.
I think a lot of people, you know, whether it's religious reasons or how you grew up, feel like that they do need to give back. But a lot of times people are looking to increase their skill sets. Some people want to do it for social reasons mm-hmm. that they don't get. Maybe they're new to this city and they want to meet people
sure.
and they want to meet like-minded people. So they come to the library because that's what they like.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have a passion for libraries, and libraries were important when they were growing up, or they were excited to go to the library, so they want to be in that library environment. People are geeked about the library. That I really see that. You know,
mm-hmm.
they absolutely have a passion for libraries and what it means to a community, but Cameron, what do you see when you see the same reasons that people are coming forward?
Yes, I think that's the biggest impact is just the love of libraries and why, how they can give back to the libraries. Sometimes the libraries impacted them a lot, so they feel the need to give back to the community by participating in what the library has to offer for the community.
Yeah, I do see that. And Sharon, you could just tell us what volunteers.
all of the above. And I want to say, if you suffer from low self-esteem, just volunteer at the library because you will feel like Superwoman. That, the librarians thank you about 60 times a minute. And, there's such appreciation. It's wonderful, very affirming. I grew up in rural Central Pennsylvania, and it's going back a few years. There was, one car in my family. We didn't go anywhere except to school. The school did not have a library. It was a four-room school for eight grades, but I made it. the bookmobile came from Johnstown, from the county library once a month, and it was a lifeline. Without the bookmobile, I wouldn't have known what I learned about the outside world, books for entertainment, for escape, for knowledge. I am deeply and profoundly grateful to the libraries. My husband, Walter Sanders, a similar story. He grew up in suburban Chicago, and his family of there were five kids, stay-at-home mom, and they lived at the Glenview Public Library. Okay. His sister has a master's in library science. Her son has a master's in library science. So I am surrounded by library geeks. My daughters both adore libraries. My older daughter is a poet, and she works for an academic publishing company. I love being behind the scenes at the library. I've been in three departments so far. It's like being backstage at a Broadway show. You get to see how it's done. Mm-hmm. You get to see the costumes and the lights. And the the loading dock is exciting because the vans go out at O Dark 100, and they get all the bins of books that are going from South County. Someone requested a book at Beatty's Ford Road. So they come out of one bin and get sorted into 20 other bins.
Right.
And so you see, you can tell what the book club pick was in South County because there's like a million copies of whatever. It's really fun to see that. I've been in shelving North County books from your place.
Okay.
There's Seth is handling that project. And that's fun. I was scanning and ticketing those, and then I've been shelving those. And I liked what Astrid said about shelving. It's sort of very zen. You get into the, decimals. Sometimes you have to, there's that number thing with Mr. Dewey, but it's very fun.
You can't escape math anywhere, can you?
You can't. You really can't. I always told my daughter that, and it really didn't help. but I liked what Shauna said about the volunteers can really, I'm very task-oriented. The volunteers can focus on putting that whole cart or three carts of shelves on, or books on the shelf, because volunteers don't have to go to meetings, the M word, and disrupt their workflow. Today I was in tech services for the first time. They get massive amounts of boxes, new books that are coming from the book vendors Ingram or Taylor, Baker and Taylor. And it was like Christmas morning on steroids. I was like, oh my gosh, there's, Stephen King's new book. There's 20 copies of Stephen King's new book. Or Justin Timberlake wrote a book, and it's huge. It's like a coffee table book. Did he have help? So it's just fun to see what's coming down the pike. And, I'm thinking, I want to read that. It was great.
So you're finding the behind-the-scenes perspective to be very exciting.
Oh, it's really fun.
That's great.
You're a great commercial for recruitment. I'm going to take you everywhere.
Okay, so at this point, I am going to introduce Cameron Smith. Cameron, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing at University City?
Okay. Well, I am the volunteer point person at University City. I'm also an adult librarian. And I'm in the unique position that I actually started as a volunteer when I was 11 years old, and I had my first paid position at the library when I was 16, and I've been there ever since. So I've had 17 years of service with the library, and I've been a VPP, volunteer point person, for about 8 years, and it's been very, very rewarding.
I've enjoyed it, and it always feels dynamic to me. And one of the reasons, as Shauna mentioned, is that skills-based volunteering. So it's not someone just coming in mm-hmm. and saying, I guess all I can do is shelve books. It's about what skills they have and what they can contribute as a volunteer to the library to expand our services, add capacity.
Okay, so Shauna or Cameron or Sharon, what would make volunteers want to leave an organization?
I feel like the first thing that pops to mind is that they might be placed in a position that's really not a good fit. Mm-hmm. That maybe we just were so desperate for shelvers, and we are typically do need shelvers, but it's not what somebody wanted. So a bad placement or being so desperate for a volunteer to do XYZ, but it's really not their thing, will send a volunteer running. That's one of the first things that come to mind. Cameron, what about you?
I think the biggest reason our volunteers leave is if they feel that they're not valued or their time is wasted. I mean, I'm fortunate enough at my branch that we do value our volunteers and the staff really supports volunteers. But I think the moment that we've had not enough for them to do and we can't place them in another position, that's when they feel like, okay, their time is just not valued and they'll move on. So that's one of the big reasons why. And it doesn't happen often for us, thank goodness, but it
can
happen.
Because Cameron runs a tight ship, as we've mentioned.
Yeah.
Well, I can't imagine because, boy, I'm busy at the main library. I would guess someone with a certain expectation, you know, people have an expectation about what something's going to be, and maybe it doesn't match up to it somehow. It's hard to say, but in my brief experience with Shauna, she's very open to, you know, hearing, is this working for you? I remember you saying, well, how do you like the loading dock? It's not for everyone, and I love the loading dock. It's kind of crazy. So I can see where it might not be for somebody. But in my experience, I certainly feel that you're open to hearing, getting honest feedback.
Right. Making sure that we have a nice conversation and always feel like you can come to somebody and trust them to say, this is just not working for me, but I still want to be at the library. But I will say, as Cameron touched on, that to waste a volunteer's time is one of the worst volunteer management mistakes. So not being ready for a volunteer, not being prepped and have things ready for them, it happens on occasion, but it shouldn't be happening regularly.
Right.
And so I feel like that is one of the first things that will turn a volunteer off, is just like, oh, you're here today, like it was a surprise.
Right.
You know, because that is a very strong tenet of volunteer management, is to never waste a volunteer's time.
Yes.
So I try to drill that in. I'm glad people are saying thank you 60 times because I'm getting through. That means they're listening.
Yes.
But yes, those are all good reasons why we might lose a volunteer. And I think it's interesting too, Sharon, when you're talking about expectations, Sharon probably had more realistic expectations because you've had so many people in your family go into library sciences.
Mm-hmm.
But people do have this kind of glamorized idea.
Yes, I was going to use that word, and then I thought, well, that's a,
no,
I'm not going to use that
word.
No,
they do. And they think the front desk.
Yes, exactly.
They want to work that front desk, and they want to read to children. I mean, when they imagine or envision.
Yes, that's the.
It's like reading to children, and the front desk, for whatever reason, just feels so glamorous to them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so
it's kind of the fuzzy little Hallmark commercial.
Yeah,
of
they have an idea that it just things they have no idea.
They don't know about the loading dock.
We are working in the back room to make that desk look so glamorous.
It's true. Yeah, that's a very good point.
They think that they might. They think they know, but but it's a lot of hard work. And to be honest, some people can't stay at the library because it is so physical. I mean, you are up on, you know, little stools trying to get to the top of the stacks. You know, if you've got any kind of arthritis or if your knees are bad, I mean, there are people who physically just can't do it. And they didn't realize you have to push and pull. And that's in our job descriptions. You've got to be able to exert 20 pounds of pressure or something like that, the way it's worded. And so there's some physicality to it that I don't think people really understand. As these baby boomers, you know, they're aging, and so we might have to redesign how we put our books in the stacks. I don't know, because it's hard to. We always say that there's a little place in heaven for people who shelve children's books, because you know children just come through and just pull and pull, and so you're always putting it back
and bending down
and bending down, and so that's a very difficult task. And we always try to be. You know, we try to give chocolate whenever possible.
Yeah. It always helps, doesn't it?
It does.
So what are some, what would you say then are some misconceptions that people have about volunteering?
You know, they think that they can just drop in. They think that, we're just waiting on somebody and that we can get them started in a moment. They don't recognize that it is kind of like an HR situation where we're going to interview you. You're going to put in an application. There's a screening process. And so we're going to talk to you and there's going to be an interview. And so, but a lot of people, and I said this to one guy, and he said, I just want to volunteer. I think he thought, you know, I said, I know. I said, but this is how good volunteer management is run. I say not every present is a gift. You have to make sure that you are doing the best thing by the library. You are putting people in volunteer roles that are good for the library, that don't cause trouble, that don't create havoc in the back rooms, because people may not realize, but people are working elbow to elbow in the back rooms, and if somebody's just got a bad attitude or is a negative personality, that is hard on other staff, and it's hard on other volunteers. So we're always looking for that good fit. So they, one of the biggest ones to me is that they just think they can come in and start.
And I've noticed, and I didn't understand the importance of that. Even after they're screened and they are an official volunteer, the department heads want to know, can you come every Thursday morning? Or because they have, like you said, they have to prepare, and that didn't really dawn on my consciousness until I started doing it. And I see that they have to know someone's going to be there to instruct them to because they're, it takes the librarians, I mean, they manage the volunteers. The volunteers don't just like go in and think up something to do. They're given very specific instructions, and those are really important. And the librarian's there to answer questions, because inevitably you say, oh yeah, I get it, and then 10 minutes later it's like, well, how do you do this? So the librarian has to know that they have the time in their schedule on Thursday morning to do that with the volunteer. It's a two-way thing.
Give instructions and training and prepare the instructions.
And retraining. And it's important for, and the other reason we want people to come in consistently, you know, weekly, about 2 hours a week is what we ask for, is that you will forget what we've been trained on if you are not coming back in and doing it regularly. And if we're taking that much time to train you, then volunteers are a great value. But it's not going to be a good value if we're always retraining. So coming in regularly and using that skill is very important as well. Anything, Cameron?
I think that's the key, is we're looking for long-term volunteers. We want it to be a good fit for them, but we want it to be a good fit for us. And unlike a lot of organizations out there, we're looking for someone that's going to commit to about 6 months of their time. You know, we know things happen. We know there's life changes, somebody moves, but in general, we want someone that we're committed to and that's going to be committed to us for a good amount of time.
Right.
I think that people, the public, may not realize that the library has to just clip off every day to meet the demands of the public. Mm-hmm. We don't have a lot of things languishing, like maybe at another nonprofit. They're just waiting for manpower to come in to assemble something or organize something. And because people come in daily, we are hustling constantly to get things ready and prepared to go back out. And so we do need to merge a volunteer into our already very concrete workflow, a very you know, structured workflow. You know, people do call me and say, can my group come in next week? And it's hard for us to work with groups. That would be a challenge for us. Mm-hmm. Number one, we don't have a lot of back end space. You know, it's tight. We leave most of our space for the public, and the back rooms are small. So it's not a lot of room for groups. And to have that kind of work for like 10 people, mm-hmm. 15 people, we just don't have the luxury of letting things languish or lie mm-hmm. around. They have to be taken care of daily. Every now and then when we have a book drive, those books have to be processed and weeded and sorted and, you know, prepared to give back out to the community. That's a good group opportunity. But I do think that people sometimes wonder, why can't you have my group come over? But space and the fact that we just have to meet the needs of people every day. We don't have a seesaw in the corner waiting for somebody to come and put it in the playground or things mm-hmm. like that. So right. I think that that's something that people don't factor, is that when gotcha. Things don't languish at the library, they move.
Yeah, the moving parts are astounding. Yeah. And there's a lot of hands, human hands involved in yeah. that. I mean, I'm sure I haven't seen a lot of automation yet, but I'm sure it must be coming.
Yeah, yeah. We are, some things are happening. And RFID stickers or in radio is giving us some help with that. But right now, I think we've only got two branches maybe that has some technology that helps scan the books, that mm-hmm. help get the books back out. But it is a lot of handling, yes. a lot of people power.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the bucket brigade.
You're right.
Okay, so Cameron, can you tell us more about being the volunteer point person or about managing the volunteers at University City?
Sure. Being the volunteer point person is really managing the unpaid staff of the branch. We think of volunteers as unpaid staff because they're there for the long term. They're interacting with staff. They're covering a lot of the mm-hmm. services and programs that staff may provide or may not provide, but that's key, as Shauna mentioned earlier, we're integrating them into really our family. So yeah. that's really the role of the volunteer point person, is to act as that liaison between staff and other volunteers and the public, too. So as volunteer point person, my role is to manage, but also recruit, to train, to find their best fit. And that's what we talk about more and more all yeah. the time, is it's not just having a volunteer come in and shelve. It's what do their skills bring to the table. And some great examples of that at University City is some of the programs that we've been able to offer because of volunteers. We've had a very, very robust, strong Reading Buddy program that our adult volunteers participate in. And some of our Reading Buddies have been with us for 8 years, and they love it. It's impacting literacy in the community. We talk about that a lot now with active reading right. and ways that we can improve the literacy rate for third graders and young children, and that's a great way the library offers that is to have these reading buddies that will help instill the love of reading, and maybe somebody's struggling, so this really helps those children to really hopefully feel comfortable with reading and improve their literacy.
Right.
Also English tutoring, that's been a very, very large program for us that we couldn't do without volunteers. And last fiscal year we had 1,200 sessions that our English tutors were able to provide for ESL learners. Wow. And it's the dedicated volunteers that make that possible. We would not be able to offer that program at all as staff without volunteers. So that's one way we're expanding our capacity, offering a service that the community really needs. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud to say that our branch offers that, and we could, like I said, we couldn't do it without volunteers. Also teaching Spanish, so that's been a really popular program offering. We have a native Spanish speaker from Honduras, and she teaches Spanish in other capacities, like high school. But she also leads a Spanish conversations group, or okay. kind of a language learning group. And then also we have a Chinese language program that we're able to offer as well because of a volunteer. And that is made possible by a visiting scholar from China. And again, when I met with her to interview her to talk about some volunteer options that she would have with us, she kind of said, well, maybe I can just shelve. I love the library. I love what you do for me and my family when I've come from China. But I thought about it, and I thought, well, would you be willing to teach Chinese? Would that be something that you could do for the public? And she said, oh, sure, I'd be glad to do that. So we've had weekly Chinese learning sessions, and we have about 12 people that attend that program each week. And it's a really, really great way that people can come together, learn a language, and learn a skill that they didn't have before. So that's another way the library is helping fulfill the need of the community and bringing people together.
Right. So tell me more about the programs. Is it the volunteer and several people, or is it one-on-one?
For the English learning, it's one-on-one. It's either conversation-based, or it's also learning the mechanics of the English language. So it might be grammar, it might be sentence structure, going through worksheets and learning how words are used, increasing vocabulary. So it's really a little bit of both.
Right.
We've tried to offer class structures in the past, but we found that wasn't quite as effective as just that one-on-one experience. And some people, when they come, they want to learn English, but they don't want a class environment. They really just want to practice speaking and using the dynamics of the language with someone else, and it's more comfortable for them because they don't feel like they have to. They're not tested on it. They're not going to a classroom setting. So it's been very, very popular, very, very effective, and we can see where people that come to participate in that program, they really build their skills over time, and that's why it's so important for volunteers and that commitment that we have from our volunteers to be able to continue letting them practice every week.
Right. So are there other programs that volunteers are running either at University City or at other branches?
Yes, we have a Tutoring for Teens program, and that's very successful too. And we're, again, fortunate to have the skills from the community where we have a retired high school math teacher that spent 30 years with CMS, and he's great because he knows all levels of math, and so it's a very valuable program, and again it's something that we're providing for the community that the community may not have access to. Private tutors are expensive. Mm-hmm. Not everyone can afford those sessions, so this is another option that people have.
Right.
So that cost is not a barrier for some.
Yeah.
So definitely. That's another program that we're able to provide. Also, we have technology tutors, so they teach adults basic technology skills on a one-on-one experience, and it's someone that may have just received a smartphone, they don't know how to use it, or maybe it's just something basic like learning their email or learning a Microsoft Office software product like Microsoft Word or Excel. So again, it's meeting the needs of the community and increasing digital literacy by offering that program. And most of these programs that I've talked about, I just can't stress enough that we can do a lot as staff, but we're really, it's adding capacity. That's what volunteers enable us to do. We may be able to do some of these things on a limited basis, but in the amount that we're able to offer them, we can't do it without volunteers.
Right. Okay. Great.
That's so impressive. You're doing such good work. Bravo to you, Cameron.
So, Shauna, can you tell us some statistics on volunteering in the library system?
I absolutely can. This past year, we had almost 1,500 volunteers. It was 1,467 that came through our doors. They gave over 53,000 hours.
Hmm.
And you may not know this, but every hour has a value attached to it. The independent sector creates a dollar value to an hour, and that's what a lot of volunteer managers use. But we have a numbers guy at the library, and so he was able to take all of our salaries and make this great number. So that 53,000 hours is valued at about $1.5 million.
Hmm.
Almost 30 full-time equivalents. That is the impact that volunteers have on this library. They bring in a resource of, it's just shy, just a couple $1,000 shy of $1.6
million. Wow.
It's staggering, really.
Yeah,
you know, when you add up every hour and you see how much energy is put into the library from our volunteers, and we're always, most of us anyway, are so impressed by what our volunteers can accomplish. And, you know, they're inspiring in and of themselves. And I think that anybody who goes out of their way to spend the most precious thing we have, which is time, mm-hmm. and gives it to the library is a pretty awesome person. And, you know, during Thanksgiving, we do try to say often, thanks for giving.
Yeah.
Thanks for giving your time and your talent to the library, and we want to make the best of the time that they do give. And you can see how they have been an incredible force yeah. for us to expand our capacity and reach more people. And then they go out and tell the world, you know. Yeah. So we're impressed by our volunteers for sure.
Does that number include that is adults and teens?
It is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Shauna, tell me, if somebody wants to become a volunteer, what do they have to do?
Well, I would say go to our website, and you can go to www.cmlibrary.org/volunteer and get an idea of what kind of things are out there. You can take a look at the opportunities at any branch. You can put in a keyword and put in, you know, Hickory Grove branch, you can put in University mm-hmm. branch, and see what they have exactly. And take a look there. And if you've got questions, they can call me or contact me. My name is all over the website, and my email, and my number. Mm-hmm. So they can always call me to say, hey, tell me a little bit more about this.
Sure.
But it starts with, if they're ready to get started, they see an opportunity that they like, a service project, they just merely need to log in, they'll do a profile, and then they will apply for a particular opportunity. So there's a job description. Mm-hmm. Every volunteer has a job description so that they know exactly what we're looking for. And that's all you do. And somebody will be in contact with you. We'll ask you to come in for maybe a 15-minute interview or so and take it from there. You can call me or start with our website.
Okay, great.
You'll be glad you did.
So says a volunteer.
Shauna is the best.
Thank you.
So does anybody have anything else they would like to add?
Go to the library. Early, often, all the time, go to
always.
The library.
All right, great.
I think that you would be surprised to know all the different things the library has now. I think that
yes.
people are amazed that hear me talk about what we have and our digital branch and all the different ways that we are bringing technology. And it's not as scary when you go
right.
to a library and ask for a little bit of help, like the technology tutor that we have at University City. I just think that's an awesome resource
yes.
So that everybody can be a part of the awesomeness of technology. And keeping in touch with family, whatever you know you're doing with it, but you can get some help on about your phone or any device
mm-hmm.
you have. So obviously, all of us love libraries, and we think that you will too if you just walk in and see all the different things that are available.
Okay, that's great. Okay, well, thank you for joining us for Meet Me at the Library, and I want to thank all of our participants today. We had Shauna, we had Cameron. With Sharon. We hope you've enjoyed this program. Look for our upcoming episodes on the digital branch at digitalbranch.cmlibrary.org. And if you want to visit the library's website, go to www.cmlibrary.org. Check out the library's calendar and resource pages and our volunteer page. You can also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. #CM Library or @CM Library. Thank you very much. Have a great day.